Unless there are any questions of Karen? It's like, no, we are now to item 11. And the attachments are one off for these last two, as we have an agenda.
They're what?
Revised agenda. Well, the agenda got revised.
Right, it's number 11.
Something else. So agenda item 10 on your handout is now agenda item 11.
Oh, and that was referring to the December 14th meeting?
Right.
So we crossed it out and put the new one to show that this...
No, when we move this to item 11, okay, this used to be item 10.
No, it's not.
The handout is still item 10. Yeah, no, that's true.
just in case there was any confusion, probably not, but...
Anyway. There wasn't before you helped clarify.
Thought clearly came to mind. Just turned to the one with the same title.
Okay. Tim?
On that note, all right. So I'm going to give you a little bit of an update on the implementation of the liquidity program. This was something that we intended to deliver in December. Obviously, that meeting ran long. We didn't get to this. So some of the information is a little bit dated, but I'll give you an update of what happened and what has happened since the memo was drafted. The board took action to implement their new liquidity program, selected the managers this fall, and we negotiated contracts with DFA, SIT, and Insight. Had the contracts in place by late October, and we're ready to start transferring the assets. Long and the short of it is we managed the transfer of all the assets, liquidation of a lot of core fixed income and other assets, in the week after the election, when the bond market was in sell-off mode on the anticipation of the U.S. issuing more debt for infrastructure spending. Managed to protect a lot of the downside, got it all successfully transferred, and we are now fully up and running with the liquidity program, and we anticipate the first benefit payment coming out of that later this month. But let me step you through the details here, and then I'll be happy to answer any questions. We took a look at the targets associated with the phase one implementation of the asset allocation, and it added up to about $1.5 billion was going to need to go to the new three new fixed income managers. We lined up where that was coming from. It was going to come from, there's a table on the second page there. Took it from a broad swath of managers. We liquidated the core and core plus fixed income managers. We took some money from various other equity managers that were going to have reduced targets under the new asset allocation regime. And in total, it took $1.5 billion from legacy managers and funded those new managers. Now, I think importantly, from a process perspective, our first goal here was to minimize all costs associated with implementing this. So we took the PIMCO Core Fixed Income, the Goldman Sachs Core Fixed Income, and the Lord Abbott Core Plus Fixed Income portfolios and showed them to all the new managers. Now, you can imagine there's going to be differences in how they run money. Most notably, our legacy bond managers are running bond portfolios with a duration of about 5 years. Our new fixed income managers are running bond portfolios with a duration of about 2 years. Not a lot of commonality there. But we were able to take about $55 million worth of the Lord Abbott portfolio and transfer it in kind over to Insight. So that was a net gain where we imposed zero transaction costs associated with that transfer. Then we took a look at the other $1.5 billion and said, how do we most cost effectively move this money? We determined that even though this was going to be a one-sided liquidation, meaning there would be one entity selling off a portfolio, another entity buying the portfolios, we said it made sense to take a look at our transition pool. Now, the board approved the transition pool probably about 9 months ago. This was the first time we actually used them. In the Verisk recommendation for the transition pool, they identified BlackRock and Russell as the best transition managers for U.S. fixed income assets. We got bids from both of those that came in relatively close to each other. We selected BlackRock in this instance based upon the depth of their fixed income trading capabilities. By the time we got all the contracts in place with all three managers, and an agreement with BlackRock. We were up to kind of the beginning of November. There's a long process, long from my perspective, of getting the bank to certify. You have to stop the trading, you have to certify the asset list, provide the certified asset list to the transition manager, and the transition manager then develops a plan. So by the time we got through all of that, we were in the Friday after the election. So we're already into a period of volatility. We did a reassessment at the time, said, you know, do we have any insight on the direction of the market, and decided that we didn't, and it was best to implement the board decision as quickly, as prudently as possible. Gave the final green light to BlackRock to go ahead with the transition. They took control of the portfolio as close of business on a Friday and started trading on Monday morning. Over the course of the weekend, the market dropped about 0.5%. In a fixed income world, that's a pretty large move. The market continued to drop all that week. Now, I think importantly, BlackRock was able to liquidate about 99% of this portfolio over four trading days. They did that at a execution cost of about 10 basis points, which was right in line with what we expected going into this. The market impact was pretty much all from that initial opening move on the market. So the market dropped, they took control, they traded it pretty effectively. I think the most significant thing from my perspective was over the course of the transition, which was about 10 days, this portfolio dropped about 0.7% in market value. The legacy portfolio would have dropped about 1.3%. Now, a 0.6% difference seems relatively modest, but remember, it was on $1.5 billion. So we were pleased that we were able to get this done during a period of heightened volatility. We were pleased that we were able to protect at least half of the assets that would have otherwise been exposed to the market and get the board's decisions implemented in a timely manner there. So updates from this memo, we talk about on page 3, the balances there, that DFA was funded with $400 million, that Insight was funded up to about an $825 million mark, and that SIT was a little bit under target at about $293. Since this memo was written, we were able to fully fund SIT. So at year end, all three managers were at their initial targets. All three managers have their portfolios largely implemented at this point. I'm still getting some reports coming back in, but we're pretty much there. Now let me turn you back to Rusty. You asked a question about the format of the asset allocation on item 5E. Let's take a look at that real quickly here. So you can see the initial targets. I'll give everybody a chance to flip back to this one here. Those initial targets are pretty much right on. You see, SIT was at $292 million at the end of November. End of December, that's at $432. So that's going to be their initial position there. Insight and DFA, we have not given them any additional funding, and given the nature of these portfolios, where we target pretty close to zero volatility, we should expect relatively little moves month to month on that front. So all three managers are at their target now. Looking forward a little bit on the reporting for the liquidity program, we're going to be bringing that back at the next meeting. You'll see the first draft of that. The first benefit payment will actually be made from this program about 2 days before the next meeting, so I'll give you a verbal update, but we won't have verified bank data to back that up in our memo at that point. But Jerry, you've given me some good guidance on what type of information you would like to see in that report, very much the dashboard style.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't remember that part. Thank you, anytime.
The simple version, the high-level version. Value. So we've designed it with that in mind, and you'll see the draft at the next meeting. Obviously, if there's any feedback from trustees, if there's information that you feel is useful but it's not in that report, I welcome that report, that information back to me. I fully anticipate this will be iterative over the first 6 months of the year or so as we see this running. Any questions you have, I'm more than happy to incorporate them into the report. But the long and the short of it is, board made the decision to hire those managers in that structure. We got everything negotiated in October and early November. The money was moved over the course of November, and by the end of December, we were pretty much fully up and running. And we look to be in very, very good shape to make our first benefit payment in about 10 days from the program.
Great. Yeah. Question, it's probably a little early, probably unfair, you can tell me that right off the bat, but what's the total fund look like at 12:30? Do
Do you have a thumbnail sketch on that?
Well, in November 30, we were at $7.6 billion. The fixed income markets would have sold off a bit, but because we were very short duration, we would have been protected for most of that, and the equity market was up, so somewhere north of that number would be my guess.
I could have guessed that. That's why I was asking for a little bit more specificity.
Yeah. We haven't made that estimate yet. 7.778, probably in that range.
Okay, great. And so we don't have an estimate on the return either, I mean, the percentage
we
return.
Don't. The bank hasn't even verified our year-end data yet, so it's very early days.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
Then I'll be unfair at the next meeting.
How's the phase two setup look like?
Phase two, we're going to be talking, I can cover that in our staff comments or right now since you asked the question. Phase two is the restructuring of the growth equity portfolio. We're going to be coming back at the next meeting with a recommendation from Verus on the emerging markets equity managers as well as the passive U.S. equity managers. So we look to be in very good shape to make the recommendation if the board concurs with the recommendation. To have that largely up and running or at least be on the path to funding by the end of the first quarter.
When you say next meeting, are you talking about literally the next meeting? Or
literally the next meeting, January 25th. So we'll have presentations from two emerging market equity managers and one passive U.S. passive equity manager. I would imagine the presentation from a passive U.S. equity manager will be the most scintillating presentation you've ever had from an
So this, I mean, this really represents a, how long, 18-month effort, when you think about it, when you first started?
I think from the, from my perspective, it's about a four-year effort. From the, I think by the time the board got heavily involved, about 18 months.
So congratulations on finally bringing this all to fruition. There's a lot that went into it.
There's more work to be done, but I think we're on, we're clearly into the inner functionings of the new structure, and I think by year end we're going to have a materially restructured overall program.
Great.
Any other questions?
Okay. All right. Great. In any case, thank you.